cannot be driven over whatever speed without incurring risk. There's not something you can do to prevent that carburetor from sticking. With Common Prime X, you can prevent the problem by supplying adequate ventilation. You, in the carburetor case, you cannot prevent the problem. In this situation, you can prevent a dangerous situation from arising by supplying adequate ventilation. I think that would be the only difference or differentiation that I could show. The other reply point, if I may go on to, it has to do with no evidence of producing cause. And the evidence that the petitioners have introduced is that Connell Prime X is flammable, Connell Prime X was in the tank, and that there was a fire. The petitioner's expert, Dr. Morris Key, was never asked, and nor is there any testimony that, in his opinion, the fuel for the fire was vapor from Connell Prime X. And again, I'm not trying to tell this court that that wasn't the fuel, that we proved that wasn't the fuel. We don't have that burden. That's their burden. There's no evidence that Connell Prime X or fumes therefrom were producing cause of the fire, that they were the fuel for the fire. That's the Court of Appeals held that.
Do you think that a jury could infer that? Well, do you need direct evidence to testify about that it was proved that there was fire?
I wouldn't
prove that there were fumes. It was proved that it had a low flash point.
That's correct, Your Honor. And with regard, and in answer to your question, with regard to the flash point was testified as being 53 degrees by the petitioner's expert. All of the testimony in the case from the petitioners as well as from the brewmeister was that the temperature never reached 53 degrees. In addition, the petitioners had previously used this product in other storage tanks, similar storage tanks, if I'm not mistaken, smaller storage tanks, at the brewery. And as soon as they were finished applying the product, they get out of the tank. They've already got a heater, an electric heater, in there, and they plug it in and turn it on. And they've got an electric heater with exposed coils and a fan blowing through there. And there's no problem.
How much friction between the knees of the guy's pair of pants would it take to create 53 degrees?
I don't know, Your Honor.
Two pieces of clothing together.
There was no evidence on that at trial, and I certainly don't presume to know that, Your Honor.
Don't you concede in your response to the application that petitioners prove that Connell Prime was the only flammable element in that place?
Yes and no, Your Honor. The answer to that is that there is evidence from the petitioner's case that they knew of no other product in the flammable product or vapors from flammable products in the storage tank. I would certainly admit that that was the evidence.
All right, page 4, although the petitioner introduced evidence that Connell Prime X was flammable and was the only flammable agent in the tank, doesn't that lead us back to Chief Justice Pope's inquiry? Couldn't the jury reasonably infer producing cause if this was the only flammable element in the tank?
Your Honor, it is our position that they could not, because as you stated, it would have to be an inference, and the inference that inference is rebutted by the testimony of Flashpoint, which was petitioner's evidence, and the testimony of the temperature in the room, as well as testimony that they placed a heater in there with exposed red-hot coils and a fan, and there was no fire. I think in addition, Dr. Key testified that he felt you could smoke a cigarette in there and not have any problem. I again, am not telling you that it was not vapors from Connell Prime X. I'm telling you that I don't believe that the petitioners put on sufficient evidence.
Wigmore, in his voluminous work, gives an illustration of inferences. It is a person who walks into the woods and he finds a tree that is splintered at the bottom with char marks on it. He walks in following a thunderstorm. From that, he concludes that one can draw many inferences. One was that the lightning struck it, because looking at the things around, the jury could put two and two together and say, this caused that. That seems somewhat similar to what we have here.
Your Honor, I would agree with that. I think that what we have here is a thunderstorm with testimony from the petitioners that there was no lightning in the thunderstorm.
There was a flash.
There was a fire. But I don't believe that there is any evidence, or no more than a scintilla of evidence, as to what burned, what was the fuel for the fire.
If a jury were asked what else caused this fire,
there would be no evidence on that point either.
No evidence on that.
Again, as I'm sure the court is aware, it's not our burden to show what caused the fire.
The question is, in determining the preponderance of the evidence, are the probabilities sufficient just to tilt the scale to say it was this product that caused it? They don't need much, you know.
Yes, Your Honor. And again, it is our position that there was not enough evidence to tilt the scales, that when you take the evidence that we have with the Dr. Key's testimony and the petitioner's testimony about previous uses and about, I think we get into this to some extent becomes a field of expertise also. And the doctor was there and he certainly could have been asked, and he was not asked. I think in analogizing this case to a personal injury case, it's not the case where there was a broken arm, but it was the case of a herniated disc. And the mere fact that someone's in an accident and they never had back pains before, and after the accident they had back pains, and the doctor says they have a herniated disc, that is not recoverable without the testimony of the doctor. In my opinion, the accident caused the herniated disc. And I think that that's analogous to the situation that we have here, that without testimony of the doctor, of Dr. Key, that it was the fumes from the Conoprime X, which were provided the fuel for the fire, in his opinion, that there's no evidence on it.
Thank you, counsel.
Thank you, Your Honor.
We'll hear the rebuttal from the petitioner.
Please, Court, I'll be very, very brief because I don't want to go over what obviously is evidence there to be reviewed. I just want to address a couple of statements by counsel. And I think that with regard to this, one of the things that you have to look to, as I stated earlier, is to determine the product defect. You've got to make that determination in light of the normal use of that product. And it's unquestionable that this was, the use at which this product was being put was a normal use of that product. It was advertised in such a broad manner that almost any use could have been in what they were saying it could be used for, as well as it was sought out and specifically said to be told to the brewmaster, John Huebner, in his, I don't have the specific reference to his testimony, but it's in the statement of facts that they sought out this product because it was, and these people, Con Kim said, this is the product you need for your tanks in this brewery. And certainly they foresaw and in fact said, use it for this application. Just the fact that it might be used in some other application safely is not the key to the question of whether we put on any evidence or not. And I think that the question by the court about the the GM case is exactly what I'm saying. You have to look at that product in light of its normal uses, and that is what we need to do in this case. Certainly, we have to rely on some inferences in determining several things with regard to this product. We do not deny, we could not identify the ignition source. Dr. Key testifies in his statement of facts, in the statement of facts at I think page 26, he's talking about what causes a fire: air, fuel, and an ignition source. And there certainly was the ignition source there and present, and what caused the fire. We had air, we had the fuel, this product. And the ignition source was there and was the final component of that fire triangle: air, fuel, and the ignition source. And we have never denied the fact that we could not identify that ignition source, but the respondent seems to think that because we can't identify that ignition source, we don't have a cause of action. And I think that's completely faulty in its reasoning. I want to thank the court and take no more of your time with regard to these factual points. Thank you very much.
Thank you, counsel. Case will be submitted on briefs and oral arguments. The court will take a 10-minute recess.
Jerry, please rise.